God's Little Brown Church Sermon Series featuring Pastor Andrew Chrysler.
Praise the Lord. Good. Recorder's on. October 2nd, beautiful sunny day. About 45 degrees as we came in this morning. Supposed to warm up to the mid-50s today. Praise God. Those of you listening in other parts of the world, it's the start of leaf peeping season. The leaves are changing all around us. And it is pretty out there. I want to talk this morning about having clear expectations. The front of the bulletin says, what to expect. And I want to go into some scripture talking about the expectations we have and ought to have. Part of it is the fact that God is looking after us. Now, we sang God will take care of you. We sang Jesus bring the rain. We sang God is able. What did we start off with? Started off with follow you. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Who you love. I'll follow you. Part of having expectations, part of following the Lord is knowing that no matter what happens, He will never leave us nor forsake us. Of course, part of that confidence that comes from that is knowing that Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. That it's not always going to be easy, that it's not always going to be pleasant. The expectation is no matter what we face, we don't face it alone. God is with us. Praise God. I am never alone. I can be isolated from my brothers and sisters. I can be broke down on the side of the road. I can be lost in the woods. I can be wherever. But God is with me. And nothing that comes into my life is a surprise to Him. And He's already said that He's going to cause all things to work together for good to them who love Him, to them who are the called according to His purpose. I fit that category. So do you. That no matter what comes into our life, and things will come into our life, we have the expectation that things will come into our life. But we also have the expectation that even though they do, God is right there with us. God won't allow things to come into our life that He hasn't promised to work together for our good. Praise God. We don't have to worry about random acts of just randomness or crazy stuff. God, if God allows it in our life, then He's at work even in the midst of the turmoil, even in the midst of the circumstances. Psalm 145, beginning with verse 14, says, the Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, that's to the Lord, and you give them their food in due season. This is back in the Psalms, saying God takes care, God picks us up. God raises us up when we're bowed down. And our eyes look expectantly to Him, and He takes care of us. He feeds us. We've talked about the give us this day our daily bread. Lord, give me today what I need. God takes care of us. Praise the Lord. Verse 16, you open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. Remember in the, as they're talking about the, as we've been talking about the Lord's Prayer in our Bible study, and talks about how, consider the lilies of the field, how God dresses them so beautifully. It's about consider the birds, how God takes care of them. You satisfy the desire of every living thing, there in verse 16. 17, the Lord is righteous in all His ways and gracious in all His works. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He will also hear their cry and save them. What's our expectation? That no matter what happens, God will take care of you. No matter what's going on, God is right there in our midst. God has us in the palm of His hand. And He just determines what He allows to come into our lives. And what He's allowed to come into our lives, He has a plan and purpose for. Praise God. The clear expectation is not that things won't ever be difficult. The clear expectation is no matter what happens, my God's taking care of me. Whether I'm breathing or He takes me home, He's taking care of me. No matter what comes into my life, God has a plan and purpose. He loves me. He desires my best. And He has a purpose for anything He allows in my life. Jeremiah 29. God says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, the thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." That's how the New King James words it. In the King James, it says, "to give you an expected end." New King James says, "future and hope." King James says, "to give you an expected end," an anticipated that God is taking care of us. Verse 12, "Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart." We have this expectation when we cry out to the Lord, He's paying attention. Because remember, He knows even when we've sit and meditate upon His name, because we read that in the prophets, that those who meditate upon His name is written in the book. God is paying attention. When we call upon the Lord, He hears us. When we seek Him, we find Him because we search for Him with our whole heart. That expectation that we are never alone, that we are never isolated, that God is paying attention to everything that goes on in my life. And as I turn and seek His face, as I draw near to Him, He draws near to me. That expectation that no matter what comes into my life, I have a God who loves me, who has me in the palm of His hands, who's wrapped His arms around me. He knows the end from the beginning. He is directing my steps, and He has a plan and purpose for my life. He has a plan and purpose for your life. Clear expectations. Not that there will never be problems, but that no matter what comes, my God loves me. My God's at work in me. My God is working through me. Romans 8, beginning with verse 18. Paul talking to the Romans, the church in Rome, he says, "For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us." Stop right there for just a minute. I have an earnest expectation that there will be sufferings in this present time. Jesus said, "In this world you will have tribulation." I expect to go through things. Paul tells us this. Peter tells us this. Jesus tells us this. I expect difficulties to arise, but I'm not alone. But God is already at work in it. And but there is glory which shall be revealed in us. Verse 19, "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God." God has something bigger and better in store than we can imagine. Scripture says, "Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of man the things the Lord has prepared for those who love Him." We can't even imagine. We can't fathom what God has in store. But it's going to be wondrous. It's going to be glorious. It's going to be utterly amazing. Praise God. Verse 20. "For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God." The things God has in mind to do in us is going to impact not only the people around us, but the very atmosphere around us. The whole creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the children of God, waiting to see what God is going to do through us. Praise God. That earnest expectation, that clear expectation, that no matter what we're going through right now, we haven't reached the end yet. God has something much, much better than mine than we can even imagine. Verse 22. "For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But we hope for that which we do not see, and eagerly wait for it with perseverance. We eagerly know that God has it planned, and we can face whatever comes. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. We sing that song. That no matter what comes, God has something great and wondrous in store for us. And he hasn't brought us this far to leave us here. He hasn't brought us this far to ignore us. He hasn't brought us this far for no purpose at all. But that he is working in us to mold us, to make us, to show us his grace, to show us to boost our faith, to boost our confidence of knowing that God has us in the palm of his hands. That he is at work. Philippians 1, beginning with verse 19. Paul writing to the church at Philippi. Remember, Paul is in jail at this point. He says, "For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing shall I be ashamed. But with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death." Stop right there for just a moment. Christ will be magnified in me, whether I live or die. Because I'm a piece of the puzzle. I'm a thread in the tapestry that God is making to show his picture. We talked before about him holding us up as trophies of his grace, that he might be able to point to our lives as an example of what he can do. So I'll get to that in a minute. Paul says, whether I live or die, doesn't matter. I know God's got me. My earnest expectation is God is going to be glorified in my life however he chooses to do it. That my life is precious. Scripture tells us that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So even when we pass on, it's still precious in the sight of the Lord. God is still at work. God is still using us as a witness, as a testimony, as a life. We know who C.S. Lewis is. We know who, some of us know who Smith Wigglesworth is. We know who Billy Graham is. These people who have been lights in the midst of the darkness. These people who have been shining examples of a life changed by the Lord. There's so many others, our brothers and sisters, those who have gone on before, whose life have been a testimony that even in their death, God still gets glory. Even in their death is still an example of what God can do with a heart and with a life that's subject to him. A person who seeks his face, a person who draws close to him. Verse 21, "For to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. And yet what shall I choose? I cannot tell. For I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again." Paul says, no matter what happens, the Lord is getting glory in my life. It'd be so much better for me just to go on and be with the Lord. But it'd be better for you if I stuck around. It would be better for you if I could continue to reach out to me. But either way, whatever God chooses to do, he's getting glory out of this. He is watching over. He has a plan, and his plan is perfect. In 2 Corinthians 2, beginning with verse 10, Paul talking to the church at Corinth. Remember in 1 Corinthians, he lays into them pretty heavily about some sexual sin that was going on in the church. And as he's talking here in 2 Corinthians, verse 10, he says, "Now to you, now whom you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one for your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Scripture tells us right here, the enemy has devices. The enemy has plans. The enemy tries to stir things up. We're still talking about clear expectations. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. Here Paul says, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices, and we are not going to give him a foothold. We're not going to give him an opportunity to bring turmoil in our midst. Because part of the clear expectations is knowing the enemy wants to stir things up. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning with verse 6, says, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. In 1 Peter, Peter tells us we have an enemy that's at work like a hungry lion, trying to cause trouble, trying to devour us. And not only working in us, not to be surprised when it comes to us, because it also happens to our brethren who are in the world. That we have an enemy constantly nipping at us. We have an enemy who is a defeated foe. But just like the Japanese soldiers in World War II, that many years after, as they found them in the jungle, they were still fighting a battle, though the war had been long over. Satan is a defeated foe, but he hasn't given up. He is still trying. Our adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour. Paul said, we are not ignorant of Satan's devices. This is a church built in 1929. Congregation has been up to 50 and down to 4, 3 times in its life. Last time under the former pastor. And we watched as Deb and I were attending here. But we watched as people got offended. And people left. And it went from 50 down to 5 before the fifth person left, because people got offended, because our adversary the devil, like a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour. We are told to be steadfast and vigilant, be sober and be vigilant, because of our adversary. That there is turmoil in the world around us. We've seen churches being at odds with one another. I don't know if you've ever seen some of it, but there's been different places in the country where you'll have two churches across the street from each other fighting with one another on signs. Or even in St. Albans, in the St. Albans Messenger years ago, you had two churches arguing scripture in the editorial pages, in the letters to the editor of a newspaper. Our enemy is going about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We are called to come in fellowship with our brothers and sisters. We're called to lift them up. We're called to bring them before the throne of grace. We're called to pray for everyone. But we're especially called to pray for our brothers and sisters. Again, the expectation is that God is taking care of us. And the expectation is also that there is turmoil in the world around us caused by the enemy. That defeated foe, yet, right now, currently a battle, currently turmoil, currently issues. We're called to resist him steadfast. Resist him steadfast in the faith, and recognizing that the same sufferings are experienced by those around us. In Ephesians 6, leading up to the armor of God, beginning with verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Tells us the devil's wily. He's trying to stir up trouble. But it goes on, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Years ago, Deb and I went down to a funeral. There was a woman who was attending here for a while, and her brother had passed. Her brother had been here a few times. But her brother was had passed, and we went down to New Hampshire for the funeral. And they had asked me to speak, and there were several people that spoke. And then the woman who had been attending here got up after I had spoken, and she said that her and her brother had come up with some code word that they were going to share. So when she went to a séance afterwards, to make sure it was really him. And they had this communication. So theoretically, she heard that her brother was fine on the other side and everything was great. After that, there was another gentleman that was at the funeral. He came up to me and he said, you know, I don't know about all that spiritual stuff. I said, well, if you want to take spiritual stuff out of the Bible, first off, your Bible's going to get mighty skinny. You know, God never says those things aren't real. He says don't have anything to do with it. And I reminded him that Saul went to the witch of Endor, and this is in Scripture, and we believe that the Scripture is the inspired Word of God, and it's all true. Saul went to the witch of Endor and had her communicate with Samuel after he had passed on. And the Scripture doesn't say Samuel didn't show up. It says Samuel showed up and he was mad. I said, there are things going on around us that we don't see. If we don't believe that there are spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places, we are completely blinded and we're not understanding what the Word of God is. We have a clear expectation that we're wrestling, that we're in contention with spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. Against principalities, against powers, and rulers of the darkness of this age. Spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. That there is more going on than what we see. But we are victorious because we have an expected end that God is working in us and through us. God has called us to be lights in the midst of the darkness. He has got us here in just this day and age. We are not out of time. We are right where we are supposed to be and in the hands of an almighty God who is at work in us and through us and wants to hold us up as His trophies of grace, wants to use us to show His love, His mercy to the people around us, wants to call us to be His hands and feet extended, to work in us, to give us an expected end, as it said back in Jeremiah, or a future and a hope, as it says in the New King James Version of it. That no matter what comes our way, God is paying attention. I will never leave you nor forsake you. It doesn't say unless. It doesn't say until. It says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We are never alone. We can expect the battle. We can expect our adversary, the devil, to be going about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. We can expect turmoil in this world. In this world, you will have tribulation. But through all the expectation, we know that God has us. And we're not here by mistake. We're not here by coincidence. The sovereign hand of an almighty God knit us together in our mother's womb, has been with us, had a plan and purpose for us before we were born. Going back generations, we get that going through the genealogies, at least I do. As I go through the genealogies, I can see that God knows where I came from, generations back, and He's been working to come and work in my life right now. And He had it planned before the foundation of the world. The God who sees the end from the beginning, not the end from the 15th chapter. He sees the end from the beginning. Knew we would be right here this morning. Knew what needed to be said this morning. Knew what needed to be worked in my life and your life this morning. The clear expectation is God's plan is wonderful. God's plan is just overwhelming. We read in Isaiah, this was the Lord's doing and it was marvelous in our sight. You know, He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon us. And by His stripes we are healed. This was the Lord's doing and was marvelous in our sight. God had the plan before the foundation of the world. God had the plan for your life and my life before the foundation of the world. And He's called us to be lights in the midst of the darkness. He's called us to be His hands and feet extended. Final scripture, not even final passage, final scripture. Revelation 12, beginning with verse 10. It says, "Then I heard a loud voice from heaven. Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down." Praise God. In the end, that clear expectation of no matter what turmoil we face, no matter what problems we face, no matter what comes in our life, the clear expectation is the accuser of our brethren is cast down. The battle has been won. The war has been won. The final battle will be won there. And we're still in the hands of a sovereign God who loves us. The clear expectation is we are wrapped in His love. Praise God. Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your word. We thank You, Father, for Your love that brought us out of darkness into Your marvelous light. We thank You, Father, for Your grace and mercy that took us where we are and is directing us on the path that You would have us to walk, that You are working in each of us, Father, molding us and making us into the vessels fit for Your Master's use. When our faith is refined as silver and gold are refined, our hearts and our lives being taught who You are. Being encouraged by Your grace, encouraged by Your love, also encouraged, Father, by our brothers and sisters coming alongside of us. You've called us to come alongside our brothers and sisters to encourage and exhort one another. Father, You call each of us, Father, for Your plan and for Your purpose that existed before the foundation of the world as You direct our steps, as You guide us, as You lead us, as You are glorified in our hearts and in our lives to give us that expected end. That victory that Paul talks about, he says, whether I live or I die, I belong to the Lord. No matter what happens, we're Yours. I am Yours. Jim Elliot said, "He is no fool who gives that which he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." We are so grateful, Father, that we, as we've given our lives to You, You give us life, which we cannot lose. We give You praise, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thanks for listening. For more information, visit glbcvt.org.